This is Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. We've got a plastic problem. Perhaps you've heard of the huge patches of plastic in the ocean, or recently on this program that there are tiny plastic particles found in Great Lakes tap water, even Great Lakes beer. Society's response? Let's ban plastic straws. It's symbolic, but really doesn't even come close to solving the problem. Think about all the products you buy in a plastic container, especially food products. Well, there are some plant-based plastic alternatives. Henry Ford experimented with soybean-based plastic 30 years ago. Corn growers were touting the new cornstarch-based plastic bags that were developed. The method wasn't perfect, but it was a sign that people were thinking about alternatives. Join us to talk more about that. What's being called bioplastics is Danny Duquette. He's an assistant professor of biochemistry and molecular biology at Michigan State University. Welcome.
Pleasure to be here.
So let's start with what you're working on at your lab. You're putting to use an organism we've heard about in this area, cyanobacteria, which is known to people who live near Lake Erie because it caused the city of Toledo to shut down its water for a few days back in 2014. You're finding cyanobacteria useful in bioplastic development. How's that?
So we're specifically studying these relatively ancient bacteria, as you mentioned, cyanobacteria, because they have all of the same photosynthetic machinery present in their cells that you find in higher order plants. And that means that they can conduct photosynthesis, they can capture sunlight and CO2, and then convert that into useful products. And so our lab is specifically looking at trying to engineer these cyanobacteria in order to produce sugars that can be used for the production of bio-based plastics. So in today's processing, we typically use plant-based sugars, things from relatively sugar-rich plants like corn, sugarcane, and sugar beet. And we refine sugars from those plants and turn them into the polymers that will ultimately become bioplastics. And we hope that by using cyanobacteria, we can not only create those sugars more efficiently, but also do so in a way that doesn't compete for arable land or potable water.
So you're basically using a bacteria to harness sunlight to make plastic.
Exactly.
Wow. So is there a lot of bioplastic being used today?
Currently, the market for plastics is huge, as you mentioned. They're pretty much in everything that we come into contact in our daily lives. There's about 300 million plus tons of plastic that are being generated every year, and only about 1% of those are currently bioplastics.
What are they being used in primarily?
One of the main targets for bioplastics really are single-use plastics, because things like plastics that come into contact with food or other potential contaminants can sometimes be difficult to process in recycling streams. So in the case of bioplastics, we'd like to be able to replace the fossil fuel-based plastics with ones that not only are more sustainable, because this is a huge stream of plastics that are in the single-use plastics market, but also because some bioplastics can then be broken back down or biodegrade back into simple components that don't contaminate landscapes.
I mean, I've seen there are like plastic forks and things like that out there. Are there other things that commonly we might run into?
Exactly, yeah. So one of the main markets for bioplastics currently are things like food packaging, clamshells that you might get your takeaway food in, plastic cutlery, or plastic wraps.
Let's take a big step back. Why do we need to develop bioplastics? Why don't we just do a better job of recycling the petroleum-based plastics that we've already made?
Well, it's definitely a multi-pronged problem that's going to require a number of different solutions, right? So currently, only about 10% of plastics that are produced are recycled. The vast majority of the remainder go to incinerators or to landfills. And so there's certainly a lot of space for increasing our recycling of a number of different plastics. But some plastics that come into, say, contact with foods can become contaminated in ways that make it difficult to recycle them. So having additional alternatives, such as bio-based plastics that can be broken back down, allows us to reprocess those types of plastics without them necessarily ending up in a landfill.
If they don't go in the landfill, how do we get rid of them? I mean, how do we dispose of bioplastics?
Bioplastics that are compostable can be processed in industrial composting facilities where they'll be mixed with some other organic matters, and typically the temperatures are quite high in these industrial composters, and those can break the plastics right back down into their basic building blocks that can then be used to enrich the soil and to form compost.
Now, you're stressing the need for investment in not only bioplastics, but basically composting facilities that can handle bioplastics. So how soon and how likely will bioplastics be developed well enough and cheaply enough that they rival petroleum-based plastics for the marketplace?
Well, surprisingly enough, there are bioplastics that are on the market today that are currently competitive with fossil fuel-based plastics. One of these types of plastics is called PLA, or polylactic acid, and a big part of the development of that polymer was done right here in Michigan at the Michigan Bioindustry Institute in partnership with Michigan State University and Cargill. But some of these other bioplastic alternatives are not necessarily good for all applications, and we're still looking for ways to improve upon their properties for, say, food-based packaging, things like the thermotolerance or stability of the plastics, as well as to improve their ability to be broken down in composting facilities. There's really only currently about 200 composting facilities around in the U.S., which means that there definitely is a bottleneck in downstream processing facilities that can handle bioplastic. And so it's going to need to be both a increase in the diversity of suitable plastics that are bio-based, degradable plastics, as well as the facilities that can be used to break those plastics back down.
Assuming we get there, of course, that doesn't deal with the huge volume of petroleum-based plastic already in the environment where it will be for centuries. Danny Ducat is an assistant professor of biochemistry and molecular biology at Michigan State University. He wrote an article on bioplastics for The Conversation. It's called Bio-Based Plastics Can Reduce Waste, but Only If We Invest in Both Making and Getting Rid of Them. You can find it at theconversation.com. Thanks very much for talking with us.
Thank you so much.